Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Big issues, big guests. Momentarily, I'm thrilled to bring you the guy that's in the centerpiece of public health here in Philadelphia because, you know, these public health commissioners are very busy, state, local, particularly a major place like Philadelphia to get on. But wanted to tell you this, and I'll give you the full email I just got from Insource inside the House of Representatives. This just came down. They are not going to meet next week. Now, you know all that's pending here, what we've been talking about with all these bills and all. I'll give you the full details on that coming up. But let's welcome to the Dom Giordano program the health commissioner for the city of Philadelphia. Dr. Thomas Farley is with us here on Talk Radio 1210. Commissioner, doctor, thank you very much for taking time out to join us.
Good morning.
Well, I have to commend you, or at least the administration, and I differ with the mayor politically, Thomas, but on this, I think the city of Philadelphia has been very measured. I think some of the actions at the state level, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, have not been, and I'm not sure if that's your work in conjunction with the mayor or one of you, but I like it because I think you're respecting liberties while also trying to crush this virus. Philadelphia Inquirer, though, Commissioner, today is editorialized, why are you not closing the parks? I think it's the right decision. Taking down the hoops, that's one thing I think was correct. But why are you not closing the parks? What are you looking at?
Well, let me just say in general, you know, the epidemic has hit Philadelphia pretty hard. You know, we're over 5,000 cases now, over 100 deaths. And so our ability to sort of test our way out of this is very limited. So the only real tool we have is social distancing, trying to get people to stay away from each other. We did a survey last week that showed that people were following our recommendations pretty well. About two-thirds say they were following very closely. Another 20% said somewhat closely. So I said people in Philadelphia get a good B-plus as far as following our recommendations. They good, but they could be better. And I think the main thing we need to do is for everybody to sort of look out for their neighbor and say, hey, you know, if you see people congregating in the street, say, please don't do that. You're putting all of our health at risk. That's going to be more important than any steps the city can take with regards to enforcement of this. You know, I'm not involved in the decision about whether they're opening and closing parks, but I just say I think the main thing is for everybody to continue to get out the message, which the media has been pretty good at doing.
Well, look, I like the B-plus. I would give it an A-minus considering how hard this is, and I agree with you. I think people have been doing this, and I like what you said there. Persuasion, maybe, you know, gentle persuasion, whatever, is much better than draconian here. I wanted to ask you, though, you push back a little bit with the Dr. Birx kept on including Philadelphia in these numbers. Have you, of hotspots potentially, have you squared that up with Washington, or is that still kind of a back and forth?
And I wasn't sure exactly what numbers she's looking at, but I think they're looking at sort of just different questions. There's one question is, if you look across the whole country, what cities or counties are you seeing the highest number of cases? Philadelphia is definitely going to show up on that. The second question is, what's going to happen in the future? Will Philadelphia get much worse, or is it going to be topping out? And that's unclear, but our numbers are looking better to me in the last few days. We've been running about 500 or 550 cases a day over the last 5 or 6 days. That's definitely an evidence that the curve is slowing and it may be plateauing. So I'm cautiously hopeful that this is at the peak of this. There's no telling it, you know, because the virus has surprised many times in the past. It's got a mind of its own. So I'm hoping that we won't be much worse. But certainly, if the federal government is concerned about us, I welcome that concern because that might come with resources. We need the resources, and we need the help we can get. In particular, we need more of those rapid test kits.
Well, in addition to that, and I know it's a lot during a crisis to take on a social issue like this, but I guess it has repercussion, Dr. Farley, in the day-to-day moving forward. This story that African Americans, at least on the morbidity side, are out of proportion to their numbers, I'm not sure if they are as far as contracting the virus. What's your take on why that might be happening and if anything can be done about it?
Yeah, so our data on race is pretty limited, which that data is missing on most of our test reports. But if you look at the data on deaths, we are seeing a higher rate among blacks than among whites. And I don't know why that is. I can speculate two possibilities. One is that people with lower incomes, and African Americans tend to be lower incomes, may be living in more crowded situations, and so they may have not the ability to have as much social distance as other folks. And then also, African Americans may have other chronic illnesses at a higher rate. And if you have other chronic illnesses, then if you get this infection, you're more likely to get a severe infection and come to our attention. So both of those are a concern to us. We are sort of redoubling our efforts to get the message out to African-American communities about the importance of social distancing. We're really trying to make sure that they have as much access to testing as anyone else does. Nobody has enough access to testing. And we're making sure that all the hospitals are prepared to treat people who have this infection who need medical care. And right now our hospitals are seeing a lot of patients, but they're able to handle it.
Before I ask you a couple of other things I have, because it's rare that we can get someone of your caliber, your level, public health official to come on and talk about this for a lot of different reasons, I wanted to ask you about going back to work and metrics on that. But I wanted to give you an opportunity, and we hear you say it all the time, social distancing, washing hands, those kinds of things. Is there anything else that you've learned during this, particularly in the city of Philadelphia, that might be timely to amplify, Doctor, once again?
Now, we just can't say it often enough. This is a virus that you spread from one person to another when they're close by. When a person who has the infection coughs or sneezes or even talks, they put out little droplets in the air, and someone nearby that can get those droplets into their nose or mouth, and that's how they get the infection. So if you can avoid that interaction, then the virus stops, so you protect everybody. And so that's why we're talking so much about the distance. And people, you know, are doing things like, you know, cleaning off doorknobs, and that's fine. Probably the spread through surfaces is a pretty small aspect of this, so it's really the distance from other people that's important. And that's tough. You know, I really feel sympathetic for the folks who are cooped up at home, but we need to do that. Now, when we get this virus down to low levels, we'll move into a different phase and we can back off on some of this, although I don't think we're going to be able to go back to where we were before for a long time.
Let me drill down on that now.
Sure.
That's where you're a numbers guy. I watch your news conference every day. You break it down in various categories. What would low levels be? And I'm not saying this to be argumentative, but we need a metric here about determining going back to work. And then to your other point, not going back to work in the old way, social distancing and all that to open things up for a lot of people. What would be the ballpark, in your view, of a low level?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question, which I don't have an answer to yet. You know, we've been so busy in trying to figure out how to avoid having this peak be as bad as it could be to really have, you know, come up with hard numbers on that. But let me put it this way. This virus is not going to be banished from the earth for a long, long time. And so we have to recognize that if we go back to the way we did before, that the virus will come roaring back. Still, most Philadelphians have not gotten it. They're not immune. And so we're going to have to figure out over the longer term some kind of mid-range amount of social distancing where we can maintain our society but still keep the virus at a low rumble. I don't know anything about the details how we're going to do that, but that's really the next big conversation.
Right. Well, what do you advise the mayor then, though? I mean, take us inside a little bit, because you're in the unique position. I see your expertise, but he's got to make decisions as governors and presidents do. So do you think sometime in May, in your mindset, is that completely unreasonable? The virus will still be so virulent. And I know we're projecting stuff and it's hard, but people need hope of some kind of date, even if it's fairly distant out there.
Yeah, you know, the worst aspect of this for everyone is the uncertainty, just not knowing how long this is going to take. And I'm really sympathetic to that. I wish I knew as well. But, you know, every time I try to give a prediction of a date or a number, I'm proven wrong. So I'm really careful about that. I can't say when we're going to get down to low levels. I can't say what we'll call a low level yet. At some point, we will get down to low levels, and we'll be able to back off on some of the restrictions we have right now. But I can't say exactly what or when and what those how would backing off would mean.
Now, I have to say, talking with you and seeing you and some of the stuff done in Philadelphia, I think if this were done on the state level, et cetera, and if we heard more of that, I think people would accept it. Even you said a B+, et cetera. And you know, I know you don't want to comment at the various state levels, but doctor, it just seemed to our listeners, I have to express to you, they feel their liberties are being, it's gone too far. The closure of school yesterday, I'm a former teacher, kind of out of nowhere. We've had on experts saying they wouldn't have closed them originally even. We need more theory there. Why not hold out hope that sometime in May, at least have some semblance of getting back to school? Why make that decision? If you were consulted, what would you have said?
You know, again, that was the governor's decision. I don't know. I think, again, it gets back to the uncertainty about all this. We know, well, one thing we're certain about is that if we didn't do the social distancing we have done so far, that this would have been totally devastating. This would have been New York City times 10. And so we have to do some very strong steps to avoid this virus spreading. I don't think anybody knows right now the relative contribution of closing schools versus closing this versus closing that. But we got to shut this off. And then we're going to have to, after we catch our breath, figure out, okay, what can we scale back and under what circumstances? And how do we know if we've scaled back too fast, too far, or too far, too fast? So we don't have good answers to any of those questions. I'm not going to fault any decision that is really trying to protect people's health right now. We're all using our best judgment with a lot of uncertainty because it's a brand new virus.
The other area are the drug regimen. Now, you could say that somebody is not an expert like me or when the president said it, and would I tighten it up what he said in various occasions? Yes, I would. But there seems to be a big battle on this, and I don't know that that's your area of expertise, but the argument I would make, we're in desperate situations, all hands on deck, when someone might die, we know if they get on a ventilator, what happens. How do you see that debate right now, given this is right in your lane? What have you been saying? I haven't seen at your news conferences the whole array of drugs that we're talking about.
Well, you know, I'm not an expert in the drug treatment of this. I know that there is no established treatment to cure this virus. And I know you need to do good studies to figure out what drugs will work and which ones don't work. Remember that most people are going to recover from this infection without any special treatment. So if you give any drug to most people, they're going to get better. And you might conclude, the drug must have helped them out. So you can't determine whether the drug is beneficial by giving them to one patient or even 100 patients. You can only determine that if you do careful, what they call randomized controlled trials. You give it to some patients, you don't give it to some others, you collect good data and see if one group does better than the other. So until I see good randomized controlled trials, I wouldn't have any confidence that any drug is good for this specific virus. Now, there are many treatments that are effective for people, like putting them on a ventilator, but we're still waiting to hear what drugs are effective for the virus itself.
But, doctor, I would quibble with that. You put them on a ventilator, some of the statistics I've seen, not good about people getting off that ventilator. Do you have a different fact pattern? I've seen broad studies on this during this crisis. It's not good.
Many of the people on ventilators will end up dying. I don't know if it's the majority, so a number of them will get better. But again, if you give a drug to an individual patient and then see what happens in the next week, you basically don't know if that drug made a difference or if this was just the normal evolution of that illness.
I got you on that, but I would drill down and say this drug, the side effects of it are minimal based upon the number of doctors I've had on, or if that's too much, they're moderate versus the risk of death.
Yeah, you know, doctors will try all sorts of things, but for us to really have an advance in this, we need good data. We need good research, and we're still waiting for that for, you know, the drugs that I've heard about.
Any other health issue that's coming up for Dr. Farley right now? I haven't seen it in the news conference. Advice of people at home, you know, particularly sitting at home all day long. We need people exercising. We need them to not overeat. Certainly with the alcohol orders, doctor, for the PCP, all that stuff, they're out of control. What are you seeing on the health front as far as advice? Anything going on out there?
Well, you know, so this is tough for people being cooped up. We are saying that, you know, one of the exceptions to our social distancing recommendations is okay if you need to go for a walk or a bike ride or a jog, but just go out by yourself or just with household members, so people you're already exposed to, and do that and come right back. Because the exercise is going to make a big difference in terms of our health over the long term. The other thing to remind people is that your ability to fight off this virus depends a lot on whether you are a smoker. So if you haven't quit smoking yet for your health, now is a good time to think about doing it. Because if you were to get this virus, then you're going to be much better positioned to fight it off.
Is obesity one of the comorbidities that's big? I've heard that from a number of people.
You know, I haven't seen hard data on it, but I would expect it probably would. Obesity increases your risk of a lot of other illnesses. I think put tips on our website a while ago about, you know, 5 things or 10 things you can do to stay healthy during the time when you're cooped up outside. One of it is cooped up inside. One of them is to cook a healthy meal.
Right.
You can still get plenty of fruits and vegetables at the grocery store. And if you've never learned how to cook before, now's a great time to do it. You got the time. You can video chat with somebody you know who's a good cook. They can show you how to do it. This is a great time to avoid the junk food.
Well, parting question for you. And again, what time's your news conference today?
1 o'clock every day.
1 o'clock every day. You're keeping that today. And that is the mask situation. Pat Toomey was on. He's a very drilled down guy, whatever you think politically about him. And he really pushed the face covering, not the mask. We don't want to have people getting those so that medical people can't. I don't see anybody in your news conferences wearing one, even coming into the room. Is there any reason for that?
So the recommendation is from the Centers for Disease Control that you stay home, but if you have to go out and you're around other people, that when you're around other people, you should be wearing a mask. So, for example, when you're at the grocery store, when you're at the pharmacy.
Right.
So we have made our press conferences now virtual. So I'm in my office. The mayor's in his office. We're not in the same room together, so we don't need to be wearing masks at that time. When I'm at the grocery store these days, I wear a mask.
A surgical mask, or do you wear just a face covering you make yourself? What are you doing?
It's an ear loop mask. It's not. It's something that it came from a medical supply house, but it's not an official surgical mask.
Okay. Well, doctor, please come back again during the middle of this and pass a good word on to the mayor for me, my producer says.
All right. All right. Thanks for covering it.
Tom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.